Open your Bibles tonight to another psalm. Some of these Wednesday nights I'll be sharing some psalms with you that have been a blessing to me. Psalm number 56 tonight. You know, the psalms are often very encouraging to us as believers and also exhorting to us. You know, when you think about those that wrote the psalms, especially if you think of David and the times that he went through, many things in his life that were tough. And he was a man after God's own heart, and he was close to the Lord and wrote some very, very encouraging and comforting things to make our attention and focus turn away from things around us and up into the Lord. That's one thing I've always enjoyed about reading the Psalms. It takes your focus off of here and puts it up on the Lord. So I hope that tonight we can see the Lord and all the things that He's done for us. In Psalm number 56, this is the psalm and the time in David's life. We don't have time to go back to 1 Samuel 21, but it's the time in which David had fled away from Saul, and he ended up in Gath. You read that in the superscription there. It's to the chief musician upon Jonathan Elam Rechokim. That's a mouthful. Miktam of David when the Philistines took him in Gath. So he had fled away from Saul, and he went down and said, I'm going to go down to the Philistines, and I'm going to hide among them. And I remember some of the Philistines were like, isn't that David over there? Isn't that that guy that, you know, Saul slain his thousands, but David slew his 10,000s? Isn't that that rascal over there? So David began to act like an insane man and kind of, you know, acting like he was spitting at the mouth and foaming at the mouth. And people thought, well, he's crazy. And the king finally just kicked him out and said, get this nut away from us. I don't know, you know, what was going on in David's life. He had fled over to hide with the enemy of God's people, and had some difficult times there. And this psalm really talks about how he cried out to the Lord and sought the Lord in the midst of this time. There's basically a comparison that I want to bring out tonight in the few minutes that we have between man, worldly man, and his goals and what he has going on in the world that we live in, and the world that David lived in, the time that he lived in, compared to also what the Lord does for us as His people. In the very beginning of the psalm, verse number 1, we're not going to read it all together. We'll read some different verses as we go through, and please follow along. Verse number 1, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me. The word man there is not just the basic word for just a physical human being. It's a unique word, a specific word in the Hebrew, I should say. That is the word Enosh. Enosh. And it is the word that focuses on the fact that man is very weak and frail. Man is weak. Man is mortal. Man is really nothing. And we're going to bring a contrast, or David does throughout here, that we've got the Lord who's guiding and directing David. He's the one that is strong. He's the one that's mighty. He's the one that is the creator. He's in control. But on the other side, in the world that we live in, we've got these weak and frail mortal human beings that are going against the work of the Lord. And so it's kind of interesting that David chooses that particular word. That man, in all of his attempts and all the things that he does against the kingdom of God, against the Lord's work, and against the word of the Lord, man's just weak. He's nothing. He's very frail. And so that's something that we should remember on the outset, something that David had on his mind as he went through life and suffered in verse 1, all these daily oppressions and the swallowing down and the enemies that were daily going against David. These are just the weak men that are mortal. They're nothing. They're going to die and pass on, and he's trying to get our attention to see the Lord who is, of course, eternal, and the Lord who lives, the Lord who reigns, the Lord who has created all things. So, verse number 1, man is would swallow him up, fighting daily, oppressing him. And this man, again, is weak and frail, mortal. The literal meaning in the Hebrew was that he was sick unto death. That's the literal idea of the word Enosh. He's just sick. He's on his way to die. And of course, does the mankind around us in the world that we live in, do they acknowledge that they're weak? They acknowledge that they're frail. No, they don't. You know, spend any time, you know, I say this a lot, but I can't hardly watch the news. I can't handle it. It just frustrates me beyond all frustrations. I read these articles of what these crazy people are believing and doing, and I just, enough of it. I got too much to worry about than worry about these nut jobs that think that they're everything. Man does not want to admit that he is Enosh. He believes he's everything. I'm big. I'm in control. I'm in charge. We're running this country. We're running this world, and we've got everything under control. And the Lord just says, you're mortal, weak, little nothing. You're just Enosh, weakness. And that is what David wants us to remember, because we live in a society and in a world that has been this way since all of history that fights against the things of the Lord, that oppresses those that follow the Lord, that goes against and fights and seeks, in verse 2, to swallow up those that are believing and trusting in the Lord. And we have to remember that even though man believes he is everything and he's great and mighty, that he is frail, he is weak, he's sick and dying, and he is beyond all help and relief. That's truly the condition of man. Now, man does not, again, recognize this about himself. And in his attempt to show how mighty that he is as man and being full of himself and self-confident in those things, notice in this psalm here some of the things that man continues to do specifically against the people of God. There's several things that we're going to look at here quickly, beginning, first of all, mentioned in verse number 1 and in verse number 2, this word, to swallow me up. Man, this weak, frail man who thinks he's everything and full of himself, would love to swallow up God's people. Verse 2, my enemies would daily swallow me up. The idea in the Hebrew is to drink something down. I know Mr. Whitney said he actually had to take the campers out to camp today. I had a responsibility. I couldn't be there, so I kind of twisted Mr. Whitney's arm, and now I owe him for probably the rest of my life to go to camp and take the kids. He said it was hot out there, and I'm sure that when they got to the water, they were just dumping down the water bottle. You know, when you get out and you get hot, and you can't wait to get a cold drink of water or something. Maybe you're out doing yard work, or you get real hot. You want to swallow and drink down that entire bottle of water. I remember when Mr. Zachary was in high school, he used to drink a bottle of water, and I don't know how many seconds it was, but it was not, he just did the whole bottle. We'd always sit there at lunch table, Zachary's going to drink another bottle of water. He just the whole thing would just go down, and one time he punched a hole in the bottle to get the air out, and that whole bottle just went straight down. I don't know how he did it. Opened up his throat or something. It was always fun to watch. He just devoured that bottle of water. That's kind of the picture here of what God, the people, man in his frailty that he doesn't want to admit, he wants to just devour down God's people. The truth that is out there in the world. If any inkling of the truth, any inkling of righteousness, he wants to just devour that down. It's actually the exact same concept that Peter refers to in 1 Peter chapter 5, that Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That literally in the Greek means the same thing, to drink up, to drink down God's people, God's men, and God's truth. So here, man is walking around looking for anything that stands for right, and he wants to just get rid of it, annihilate it, get it out of here. We don't want this in society. So these are the things that David was facing way back, and we still face those same things today. Man hasn't changed much. He hates the truth in his sin, in his going away from the Lord, and he wants to devour those things down and get rid of them. So he swallows them up. Another thing that man does, he fights daily, and a word there that's used in verse 1, is not only does he swallow up, but he also oppresses God's people. This frail, weak, puny, nothing of mankind thinks he's so powerful, he's going to be in charge of oppressing. In other words, he's going to squeeze very hard. He's going to press down. I tell you, I think in our world today, man and the world system likes to put so much pressure against those that stand for truth. Those who stand for what's right. Those who dare to speak anything that has value, anything that has a hint of character in it. Man would love to just destroy, get that person out of society. You know, it's amazing the things that our culture celebrates and the things that our culture puts the pressure on. We celebrate sin, we celebrate evil and debauchery, and we celebrate all the diversity and tolerance and all these things, and yet we hate and despise, our society does, when anybody speaks out for truth. Well, that's pressure. That we put pressure on people to not speak the truth. But we celebrate those things that are against God's truth. This is the same thing David faced, and we still face it today. The enemies love to oppress. And I tell you, I wonder sometimes how the church is going to handle the pressure when it comes. I think Satan's going to keep bringing more pressure upon God's people. And it's our job as David, our responsibility to continue to look to the Lord and stand true to Him. Not only is he swallowing up and oppressing every single day, it's daily there in verse number 2 and verse number 1 as well. Daily oppress, daily swallow up. These are the enemies that hope to devour, and they are so many of them. Look in go down to verse number 6. We're going to skip around and then come back and cover some other things. Look at verse number 6, or verse 5, excuse me. Every day, again, this is the third time he's mentioned it, daily, man does not relent in seeking to take down the truth. He doesn't give up. He doesn't relent. He hates it. But every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. The idea of this word rest, I had to look it up, it's an older word. It has the idea of twisting and bending. Taking what the words are and twisting them around and manipulating them and turning them into something else. The idea of bending violently or deforming or totally changing. You know, the world does not like what God's Word says. It doesn't like what people that love the Lord and people that stand for truth doesn't like what we say. And so it'll take words and deform. It'll take words and manipulate to try to make God's people look like liars or they're the insensitive ones. And, you know, our society today is so big on this about, you know, everybody's got to be tolerant. Everybody's got to be loving. And everybody's got to be sensitive to the needs of other people. And if you dare speak the truth, even though the truth isn't always sensitive to people's needs, I'm sorry, the truth just kind of cuts to the bone of what things are. And all that, we just can't have. It's terrible. Did you hear what that mean, awful, terrible person? And they call themselves Christians. Oh, we need to get rid of these people from society. They're not tolerant. They're not loving and caring. And they take words and they twist and bend to make society believe that this is the enemy. These people that love the truth, they're the enemy. Same kind of thing that David was dealing with here, the twisting and deforming of the truth. You know, it says that they rest and all their thoughts are against me. Even their thoughts are just against them. Want evil being done to them. You know, there's really no way to convince or even argue or try to convince people like this. Sometimes it's just better off, you know, they're hard-headed. They are convinced and set in their ways. They're not going to change their minds. They're not going to listen to the reason of truth. And sometimes it's just kind of a waste of time to talk to them because they'll take what you say and they'll do what? They'll twist it. They'll manipulate it. And they'll make it out for something worse and terrible. So this is what the enemies of God are doing. They're swallowing up. They're oppressing and fighting. They're wresting the words, twisting them, and they're thinking evil. But look in verse number 6. Look in verse 6. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Here we have man, an evil man, plotting, scheming, and planning against God's people. You know, it's amazing that they watch. They're waiting for the opportunity. It's always been hilarious to me the way the news media, for example, does. They don't care what a liberal says. They don't care what, you know, the beloved, wonderful politicians of the media that they love. They could say something horrendous and nobody would say anything. But if a conservative person or if a Christian says something, oh, they're just all up in arms. They can't believe this. And they begin to plot. They're watching, trying to catch you saying something. They want God's people to make mistakes. They want to broadcast it out that, oh, these people are following the truth and the truth just always brings failure and it's just nothing to believe in. They gather together here in verse 6. That is the idea of joining together things that are spread apart. It's always amazing that the enemies of God often are at odds with each other. But when it comes to fighting against truth, they'll kind of join together real quick and they'll go after God's people and then they'll kind of spread back apart and hate each other again. It's almost the idea in the Hebrew of if things are spread out on a floor, you take a broom and you sweep all those things together and put them in a big pile. They come together for the sole purpose of destroying God's people. And then, well, we hate each other now. Let's go back away from each other. It's kind of the way the world is. And they despise each other, but oh, they'll set aside their differences to go after the righteous. They're waiting. Really, the idea in the picture here in verse 6 is an ambush. They want to catch God's people. They want to catch the Christian. They want to catch those that are following truth so that they can broadcast it to everyone and try to destroy the truth. As I said, especially in our society, in our day, the world is looking for any word of intolerance, any word of insensitivity, so they can make you appear to be just a terrible, awful person and ruin any credibility, any ability for you to even function in society. They join together to bring down and stop the influence of truth. That's their goal. Shall they, verse 7, escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. So here's all the things that the world does. All these things that we've talked about, that they are consumed with. But throughout the chapter, kind of intermingled between these things that the world is acting upon, there are several things that are mentioned about the Lord. Several things that the believer is to keep in focus while the world is going against him. Obviously, we live in a society that is against the truth of God's word. We could document that and talk about many different cases and discuss those things, and we don't need to do that. It's very known. But the world does not like the truth. The world does not like Christianity. The world does not like Jesus Christ, and they don't want anything like that to be successful and to become prominent in our country. And actually, you know, Satan has worked very hard to bring it down and destroy the memory of those things in the minds of the people of our country. So there are things that even in this society that we live in, the world that we live in, that Satan is running and ruling, the prince and power of the air, there are things that we're to keep in mind about the Lord. That is to keep our focus above, because if we look around here, we're going to get very discouraged. Now, we're going to want to give up the fight and say, this isn't worth it. Everybody's against us. What's the point? Well, look at some things. First, in verse number 3 and 4. Very familiar verse here in verse number 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. This is, again, the frail, weak, puny little men. Why are we going to fear what they do when we are trusting in the God who created, the God who's over them, the God who is eternal? Listen to several verses in Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? It's a rhetorical question. Man can't do anything to me. I'm trusting in the Lord. Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Similar thing in Matthew chapter 10. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And one last verse, Isaiah chapter 51. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? Why should we fear mankind, this frail Enosh, this weak man? He's going to be made as grass. We should rather fear, of course, God, the one who can eternally condemn our soul and our bodies. The natural fear when we see, or it's natural to us to have this fear when the world begins to come around and things look dark and grim, or changes become made, or laws are passed, and all kinds of things are done. It's easy to lose the focus that we have the Lord on our side. Verse number 3 and 4. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And when I have that, you know, fear because I'm human, what time I'm afraid, I will just continue to trust in the Lord. He knows the future. He knows what's going to happen. I don't. But I'm going to continue to trust in Him. Look down at verses 8 and 9. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. The Lord knows every detail of our situation. The tears that is almost like, collect my tears. I'm not crying for anything. Lord, I'm going through a very difficult time here. The Lord knows all about it. He knows every tear that's been shed. He knows every heartache that's gone through your mind. He knows what you're going through, and He's in control. He's watching. The word know here, that I know the Lord is for me, is the idea that you know because you've already seen God working in the past. You've experienced God working. And all of us can say truly as we look back at our lives that the Lord has worked in many ways. You know, as many times we go through situations that we may not necessarily see how God is working right then, but we look back maybe years later and see, you know, the Lord, He's just so faithful every single time, coming to up to the present time. He's so faithful. We know, we've experienced it. So when we go through these, no matter how difficult things get, the Lord knows our situations, and I'm going to continue to trust in Him. When I cry unto Him, the enemies turn back, because I know that's how our God works. Look at verse 10. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. Emphasis there is to remember, not just to focus on trusting in the Lord when we have fear come upon us, not just remembering that the Lord knows our situations and hears our prayers, but also to remember to focus on God's word. It is very easy, if we're going through a tough situation, if things around us are getting difficult, even in our own country or wherever we live, if it seems like the pressure and the oppression is coming, if we lose focus from God's word, then we will not remember that the Lord's on our side. We won't be thinking about that. We'll be thinking about, how can I handle this? How can I get out of this? What can I do next? Instead of, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. Focusing on His Word, we can praise the Lord in His Word because He's given us some things and we can believe and trust in those. Look at verse number 12. We're going quickly, I know, but continue to follow me, please. Verse number 12. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee, for Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not Thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? The Lord has saved our soul from death. He has ransomed us. He's delivered us from dying. Why are we worried about the walk here on earth? We've got a God that can deliver us from death, which is, to the natural man, just one of the most fearful things you can come up with. The great fear of dying to the natural man. But knowing that God, He's delivered us from that, there's no fear in death. Well, He will surely take care of me as I walk along this path. And, you know, the Lord knows the number of our hairs on our heads, some of us a lot less than others, right, Ben? You and I are in one boat there. Lord doesn't take long to count our hairs, just a few of them. You know, He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows the sparrows. He knows everything about the little tiny things of creation. Will He not surely care for you? Why worry about tomorrow, as the hymn says? Our God will care for you. He will deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of living. In other words, here is the weak man wants you to do what? He wants you to fall. He wants you to fail. He wants to ambush the Christian and, look at that Christian. They messed up again. And we can pounce on it and get rid of this truth and eradicate this idea of God. We don't want man believing in that. They want you to fall. But we're trusting in a God that's delivered us from what natural weak man fears. We don't have to fear that. We're delivered from death. And the Lord can keep my feet from falling. You know, we're trusting in the Creator God that has saved our souls. What else, or what worse thing is there physically that we could face? The Lord's delivered us from everything we can think of. So, you know, you aren't going, there's no fear or worry or cause. You know you're not going to have to go through death. You know you're not going to have to worry about what man's going to destroy you. You know the Lord's on your side. So why worry about those things and continue to walk, verse 13, in the light of the living? That's an eternal walk. That's where the Lord is. That's living. Man, this weak, frail man, where is he walking toward? He's going down toward death. He's mortal. The last verse contrasts that. We're not the weak, frail Enosh. We have been redeemed, so now we are walking in the light of the living. That's an eternal thing compared to man who is walking toward death. So David is bringing, yes, the wicked are out there. They're making situations very difficult. It's so easy to focus on that and spend time on the difficulties. But he's trying to raise our minds and attention to, we have a Creator God who's delivered us from death, who's given us His Word, who is on our side, knows everything about our situations. He will deliver our feet from falling. We can continue to walk faithfully and trust in Him. I pray that throughout this week and throughout the rest of the summer, throughout on into next year and all the things, we don't know what can come up in the next couple months. What the Lord could bring or what could come to pass. In this country even, we don't know what could happen. We don't know what would happen with this Supreme Court case this summer. You know, things could drastically change because of things that our government rules in. But we know that we have the Lord and we can continue to walk. He's going to keep our feet from falling. We're going to continue to trust in Him. Father, I pray that You would allow us to remember the truths of this psalm. We thank You, Lord, for the testimony of Your Word, as our pastor has been mentioning so frequently, the statutes that are in there, in Your Word as well. Lord, every detail. And I pray that we would not focus on the difficulties, on the oppression, on the pressure, but we would continue to praise Your name because You've delivered us from death and You will keep our feet from falling. Lord, what time we are afraid, I pray that we will trust in You with all of our hearts, for You are on our side and for us. Lord, thank You for those things tonight. Bless now the rest of our service, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.